Listening Library presents Permanent Rose by Hilary MacKay. Read for you by Sophie Aldred. Chapter 1. David tramped along the road to the Casson house, trying not to think too far ahead. In his pocket was a packet of banana-flavoured chews. He had started his journey with 3 packets. Watermelon, lime, and banana, but now only banana were left. Every few steps, he unwrapped a fresh sweet and bundled it into his mouth. He did the unwrapping in his pocket and the bundling in one quick furtive movement that looked like a yawn. It was the last week of the school summer holidays, late August, and smotheringly hot. David was on his way to visit Indigo Casson, something he had been meaning to do all summer. The nearer he got to Indigo's house, the harder he chewed. Chomp, 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 went David, and then accidentally gulped and swallowed before he had the next sweet unwrapped. For the first time since he had started out, his mouth was empty. Chewing had been David's way of stopping himself thinking very hard. Now, and without any encouragement at all from David, his brain lurched into action.
What if Indigo's dad opens the door? Please not him, prayed David, as he fumbled with a particularly tight chew wrapper.
Indigo's father was an artist. Bill Casson. Artist. It was hard to believe. He looked like someone from a TV advert for something very expensive. Sports cars. Or first-class train travel. He did not look as if he had ever been near anything as messy as paint. 2 things about Indigo's father had alarmed David when they met. The first was this inhuman cleanness. The second was the way he had glanced at David, as if David was someone he intended, for obvious reasons, to have nothing at all to do with. David, always aware of his lifetime's collection of guilty secrets, struggling to escape, had been shocked at being rumbled so quickly.
But Indigo's dad will be in London, David told himself,
as he finally got the chew wrapper free at last.
He nearly always is in London.
David bit down comfortingly into a new sweet.
Good.
Banana flavour chews were the best. Watermelon were a little too exotic, and lime slightly sour. Banana were perfect. Except for being much too small. In a David-perfect world, they would have been the size and shape of a smallish egg. And not wrapped.
I hope I don't see Indigo's mum either, thought David,
swallowing a chew whole to see if it hurt. David did not actually know Indigo's mother. He did not know anyone's mother except his own. However, he assumed all mothers were more or less the same. And when he had stopped choking, it hurt, he loaded in a fresh new chew and made a plan.
If Indigo's mum answers the door, I'll run off.
The packet of sweets was no longer a packet. It was a stump submerged in wrappers. David absent-mindedly scooped them out of his pocket as he trudged along and then suddenly turned back and began to scrabble them up again. Very recently, that day in fact, he had stopped being the sort of person who drops rubbish in the street. Now he was the sort of person who picked it up. And he was surprised how different that felt. Extraordinarily noble and embarrassingly grubby at the same time. He kept a wary eye on Indigo's house as he collected his papers. An awful lot of girls lived there.
How many sisters have you got?
He had once asked Indigo.
3,
Indigo had replied. And then reconsidering,
No, 2 really.
Don't you know?
Indigo said of course he knew, and he listed his sisters for David.
Caddy, she's at university in London, but she's home for the summer.
She's grown up then,
pronounced David. He did not like grown-ups.
Grown up,
he repeated disconsolately. Indigo said he supposed so. Caddy, scatty, golden-haired, last seen tearfully designing a gravestone for her most recent dead hamster, did not seem particularly grown up.
Caddy's the eldest, Indigo told David, Then there's Saffron, but she's not really my sister, she's my cousin. She came to live with us ages ago when she was little, when her mother died. Her mother was my mother's sister, so we adopted her. Anyway, you know Saffron.
David winced at the thought of Saffron, whom he knew only too well. She was 15, more than a year older than him and Indigo, clever, gorgeous, and ruthless. She and her best friend had once invaded the boys' washroom and attacked the leader of the most vicious gang in the school. Her friend had guarded the door to stop anyone escaping, while Saffron had nearly pulled off the gang leader's head. Not one of his henchmen, including David, had dared raise a finger to stop her.
What if Saffron opened the door?
David unwrapped the whole of the rest of the packet of chews and pushed them into his mouth all together. They fitted easily. Only two tiny yellow triangles of dribble at the corners of his lips showed that they were there at all.
Saffron'll have forgotten about me by now, thought David, who was a hopeful person.
The last of Indigo's sisters was very young, not quite 9, dark-haired and white-faced, completely different from Caddy and Saffron. Nothing about her was alarmingly good-looking, or grown-up, or tough. Her name was Rose. Permanent Rose.
Permanent Rose? Said people, whenever they heard Rose's name for the first time. What kind of name is Permanent Rose?
It's my kind of name, said Rose. Is it a joke?
That was the question everyone asked. Everyone. Even Rose's own father had asked it once. Rose could just remember the huge, indignant fuss he had made when she was 4 years old, and her father had finally discovered that her amusing pet name was not, as he had always supposed, an amusing pet name at all.
Permanent Rose, he had repeated, over and over again. Permanent Rose? No!
He had been filling in a form for a new passport, putting on all the children's names so that they could travel with him.
Just in case, said Bill,
who always did things just in case. Caddy, Saffron and Indigo were already safely listed, and then he came to Rose. She was hanging around, watching every move he made, the way she always did when he was at home.
Your turn, Rosie Pose, he had said, smiling down at her.
Then he picked up Rose's birth certificate, which he had never happened to see before, and there it was. Permanent Rose.
Eve, darling, said Bill.
Eve was Rose's mother.
Darling, repeated Bill,
very indignant and far from amused.
What were you thinking of?
Eve, who was also an artist, had been thinking of the colour that painters use. Permanent rose. A clear, warm colour that glows with its own lively brightness, no matter how thinly spread. A colour that does not fade. There had been a permanent rose-coloured sky on the morning that Rose was born. Rose had arrived into the world a lot earlier than anyone had expected her to, and from the absolute beginning she had seemed very unthrilled about the prospect of having to stay. She had been like a visitor hovering on a doorstep, wondering if it is worth the bother of actually coming in. People had sent flowers to Eve, but not baby toys or little clothes. It did not seem that Rose intended to be around long enough to need such things. Eve knew quite well why she only got flowers. That was why, one afternoon, she had slipped out of the hospital and gone all by herself across the town to register the latest Casson's defiant name, Permanent Rose.
Permanent Rose, said Tom, is the coolest name on the planet.
That had been back in the spring, when Tom had first arrived into Rose's life. He was an American boy, the same age as Indigo, who had spent the summer term at Indigo's school. Tom and Indigo and Rose had become best friends. It did not seem to matter that Rose was only 8 years old.
More than 8, said Rose. Nearly 9.
Darling Rose, even nearly 9-year-olds don't fall in love, said forgetful Caddy.
Caddy tried very hard to comfort Rose when Tom went away. It was not an easy job. It was like trying to comfort a small, unhappy tiger.
Who said anything about falling in love?
growled Rose crossly.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?